I wish we were current. I want people to know that it's okay to be gay, and just because you've got an intellectual disability doesn't mean you can't have a sexuality. Childhood exploration. Emma. I remember one day I was playing in the yard with Emma. I was 10 and she was 8 years old. I asked Emma if it was okay for me to rest my head on her butt. I sort of wanted to cuddle her and I felt safe and happy around her. But then a family member saw us and they started yelling. I was petrified. I wondered what the hell was going on. I was using Emma's butt like a cushion, but this family member saw it as something else. I felt guilty when the family member started to yell. We also got caught a few times, kissing, and they wouldn't let us be alone together. But I kind of liked spending time with her. Me getting into trouble for that kind of thing probably messed up my sexual growth more, because it's when I started to get to high school and teen years, sexuality was taboo for me. I felt it was wrong to be straight, it was wrong to be gay, or anything. But I was young and curious. Cooper. When adults say, don't hang around with someone because they're trouble, it makes you want to just hang out with them 10 times more. One time, Cooper and I were in a corridor at school, and he told me he shaves his pubes. And then he showed me. But I don't know why he showed me that he shaved them. I didn't see his penis or anything. I just saw the top part, above the genitals. I kept wondering what he was trying to do. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. I remember at the time, it was confusing, and remember wanting to experiment. After finding out that Cooper wanted to shave his pubes, I wanted to do the same. I don't know if it's a gay thing. I'm thinking straight guys probably don't care about it. I tried to shave my legs and probably my chest. Sometimes the skin is smooth, but then it goes all prickly. Coming out. The word gay can pop in and out of people's minds. People can be in denial, or it can be completely hidden. When I think back, it's like I don't want people to know I'm gay because it can be a terrifying thing. I do remember wanting to be with other teens when I was a teen, but I felt this was going to be impossible. I thought things like, no one would want me. How am I going to meet someone when I'm stuck in a group home? And when you're gay, people think you're creepy. Puppy love. One day, I was going outside to get something, and a girl from next door grabbed me and started kissing me. I was like, stop! She just grabbed me and started bloody kissing me. I felt a little bit of puppy love. Well, it was strange. I don't know. I kept thinking, I will be straight. Normal. Actually, what the hell is normal? Does that exist? For quite a while, I was interested or curious about girls. At the time, I thought all people had the same body parts. But then I realized that females don't actually have a penis. I didn't have gay thoughts at this time. I just felt empty when I kissed girls. Ethan. When I was 16, I still don't understand about my sexual orientation. Well, I didn't have a word for it. I didn't even know about gay. I didn't know the word existed. You don't know about your sexuality or sexual orientation if you can't meet people. But one day, this person, Ethan, we were on the trampoline, we weren't talking much, and out of the blue, he just said, I'm gay. I didn't give it a second thought to it. I just said, I'm gay too. It's like something inside of me just forced me to say it. I could have done this stuff, but I was afraid because of the way that Ethan's carers were watching him like a hawk, all the time. The diary. When I was staying with some caregiver, I'd done this diary of all the confusing mess that was going on in my head. It was like my head was screaming all the time. It wasn't making any sense sort of screaming. It was loud screaming. I was trapped in my head. So I had to write down in the diary to make sense of it all and figure myself out. It was kind of like therapy for me in one sense. It started to develop my sexuality. Because of all the screaming, it was like a puzzle I had to put together. But the problem is, one day I had a bit of a tiff with the partner of my caregiver at the time, and he read my diary. I found out through a family member later, and that's why I never went back to that caregiver's place again. My family member taught me not to be so trusting. I've learned about this incident. I don't write anything down. Ever. Church and waffles. I did go to church for a while, but then I thankfully moved away from that. They actually didn't know that I might be gay. I didn't feel like I could be open and tell people. There might have been the odd guy I had a crush on. Sometimes we could go to someone's place to have these waffles. That was the good thing about it. Free waffles. Can't complain. We also went to a bonfire thing, so it was good. But I just felt like if I told them I was gay, then I'll probably get rejected and they'll probably kick me out and I won't get to go there anymore. Counselling. I remember I went to a counsellor and they tried to make me straight. They showed me pictures of women in bikinis. Well, it didn't work. I felt like I was being forced to be someone I wasn't. I felt this was very controlling. I realised I needed to figure myself out on my own and not have someone else meddle in my head. I did go to another counsellor. They talked to me about relationships and showed me pictures of guys. Looking back, I wish my support person wasn't in the room with me. I might have opened up more. Consent. Learning about consent. I knew about consent when I was young, but it's not actually based on sex. It's based on other types of consent. And it's not completely whether you've been taught it, because sometimes consent comes to you naturally. It's like, oh, I don't want to do anything that offends or upsets. The first time it came to me was when I was on the trampoline with Emma. I do remember. I asked if it's okay to rest on her. And that is asking for consent. It's not invading someone's space. When I was mentally unwell, I didn't really think about orientation and relationships because my mind's not on that. This means that when you're unwell, if someone's interested, you won't be able to consent to sexual activity or anything like that because you're not in the right state of mind. Sophia, there is something that did happen that I just keep being puzzled over. And I don't think it's anything that you can call abuse because we were both young. I think Sophia was a few years older than me. I think she might have been 15 and I was 11. But I don't really feel into it. I don't know if that's because I was too young. She kept coming on to me and I remember thinking that I just liked that someone was paying attention to me, even though it's probably for the wrong reasons. She was a bit of a predator when you think about it. She was a bit creepy. Sophia and I were in this abandoned house. Sort of abandoned. It was falling apart. Months before, this person ripped off the wood boards and I was annoyed because we didn't have much privacy. I think I asked if I can kiss her, but then I didn't feel a sort of rush type or anything. I didn't know if I was too young and not started the changes yet. Dennis. I was in the van with Dennis and he started to touch me. He was rubbing my leg. He just touched my knee and I immediately got turned on. I actually only started going through puberty when I was 16. Well, my body started earlier, but my mind, that took a lot longer for me. That took longer to develop because I remember I didn't even have much sexual thoughts for a while. When I think about it, the way the carers reacted, I felt it was deeper than our differences. I felt it was because we were two guys. I didn't think about it at the time, but I think that now, because I have more knowledge, you know, you gain knowledge over time. Sexual abuse. I remember when I was about 8 to 10 years of age, this older man tricked me into kissing him. I didn't know what he was going to do, and I knew what he did was wrong. I felt quite disgusted by it, to be honest. I wanted to tell people about it, but because of my disability, my lack of communication, I didn't know what words to use. I felt I wanted something done about it. I wanted to tell people about it, but I felt I'd just get into trouble. The thing is, that person might be dead, but I still want justice, and I'll always want justice. My father abused me and my siblings. That's why we went to foster care. I kept thinking back from when I was 18, and people had this assumption about me, that I'd be like my father. I just keep thinking it's because of all that. I don't understand because, I mean, for crying out loud, I even kept an eye on children. When I went overseas, I had to keep an eye on my nephew because of the past. I didn't really want to. I didn't know how to keep an eye on him because they wander and move around. When I was 16, I did have to look after a toddler for a while. It was hard work, but at the time, my main priority was making sure he was okay. They gave me that responsibility. They trusted me, so I wasn't going to break that trust. A close family member and I were hanging out one day, and she started assuming that I would do stuff like my father did. It made me uncomfortable, her saying all that, because it was in a public place and someone could hear her. I told the family member I was never like that. I never am like that. With all that was going on, it actually was the first time I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to jump in the ocean and swim far, far away from land, and just see how far I could make it. But I didn't want to brave the cold water, so I never did that, because I know how freaking cold the water would be. Accusations. These thoughts of ending my life were also caused by service providers, who were making the same assumptions and accusations about me. They were assuming that I was going to look at illegal pornography. I did look at women online, but it was adult women. It was R18 sites. It wasn't illegal. Some of these false accusations might have been because I was making things up to see how the service provider would react. But then they made a big deal about it and just made things complicated and made things stressful for people. They wouldn't let me get the internet without signing this contract, and actually I didn't understand what I was signing. I felt like the service provider had control over my life. I felt trapped by the contract. If I didn't sign it, they would think I had something to hide. I got accused of looking at pornography on the computers in my computing course too. It's like they've got nothing better to do. They search through the computers because, from my understanding, if you've accessed pornography, it doesn't matter if you clear that computer, they have a record of who's been accessing stuff. It would all be backed up. They searched and they found nothing. And because of all that stress, I only managed to pass my level 2. I don't think I could do level 3 because of what the staff at the course put me through. Dating in my young adult years. Leo. Leo and I were friends through the support organisation. they had these rules. They said no one can go into your room and you can't hug anyone. The room part was understandable, but when they said hug, I felt a bit creeped out. When they said that, it's kind of like, who the hell do you think I am? One day I saw Leo crying at one of the parties they run every year. I wanted to hug him, but I felt I couldn't even do that. I remember feeling a bit sad at the time. We met years later again, surprisingly at a course I was doing. I met Leo there, and I don't know why I had this really painful feeling in me all the time. It was annoying. It wasn't like an actual painful feeling. It was like a psychological painful feeling. It's like you're being ripped apart. Leo invited me to a party. I got a few drinks, and apparently I was getting a bit tipsy. Leo was saying I had to leave. Maybe I was drunkenly coming onto him. I don't know. But they say alcohol brings out your true feelings. It can release what you normally control. So if you're in denial about being gay, and if you were drunk, most likely you would find yourself waking up next to a guy. But Leo was paranoid, and I don't know what was happening. But he said I had to leave. But I didn't really do anything. I wanted to stay, but I've kept thinking that maybe the alcohol, because sometimes you can flirt without knowing it. Sometimes alcohol makes you a bit more relaxed about your feelings. Jeremy. Sometimes I have a type, but it's flexible. Like someone might come along that doesn't fit my profile, and yet I might find myself falling for him. It's like when I first met Jeremy. I thought he was ugly. Ugly and old. Jeremy wasn't my type, but I did like him. I think I was emotionally attracted to him. He smoked, sort of smelt. That kind of put me off from kissing him. I don't know if our carers even guessed it was happening. I'm pretty sure they might have known what was going on, but they never said anything. Well, one time, Jeremy and I had sex in the open air. His family are homophobic and we couldn't do it in the house, so we just did it outside. And it's funny because there were people with a bike past us and they didn't even know we were there. I like Jeremy mostly because of his personality, but I wasn't 100% attracted to him because, like, he didn't have the looks completely. I know when he broke up with me, it hurt a bit, and I cried. I don't know why I cried. I don't know if it's because I wanted someone to move in with me so I could get an affordable place, or if I cried because I actually did like him. I don't know what the actual reason is why I cried, and still don't know to this day. Hunter. When I was younger and staying at a group home, I went to a monthly dance, and I did meet this guy, Hunter. I approached him and said hi, and then I actually asked for his number. We became friends. One day I went over to Hunter's house, and we were watching a movie. I didn't really see it as anything. I just saw him as being friendly. Hunter said to me, "I like you. You're cool." And he slaps me on the leg. I didn't know what that's supposed to mean. I didn't know if that meant just a friendly thing or what. He did actually come to my house, but there wasn't much to do, and I didn't know what we could do. I think he was lost too. I met up with Hunter again a few years later at the library, and then later we caught up on Facebook. Hunter sent me a topless picture of himself, and I said to my carer, "Friends don't send each other pictures of themselves." And they said, "Oh, they could." But then I replied, "They don't send pictures of themselves with their shirt off in bed." What I don't understand is why I don't find Hunter remotely attractive in photos, but I seem more interested in him in person. I sent Hunter a photo of myself, but I wasn't shirtless. People can share that. We chatted on video once, but then Facebook removed my account. I actually had a second Facebook account anyway as backup. It's so addictive that you have to have two. So I don't think you actually send pictures to each other if you're friends. That's how I see it. But if you're attracted to each other, then you probably would. At first, I asked Hunter if he wanted to visit, just as friends, to hang out. I was sitting at the computer desk. Hunter touched my knee and asked me, "Is it okay to be gay?" I said, "Yes." And I made it pretty obvious I was into him. Hunter dropped his pants and said, "I feel sexy." Then one thing led to another. It's like sometimes you have an insatiable urge and you can't really stop yourself. It's like a magnet and it goes deeper than looks. I don't know if Hunter was just being friendly, but he liked to come over. And after a while, he just ended up turning up out of the blue. No notice. Like one day I was asleep, as you do in the morning, and he messaged me on Facebook and he was sitting outside waiting. And I'm like, "Oh my God, how long have you been there for?" But then I can't forget that day, how good it was. I was standing in the kitchen and Hunter was kissing me all over my neck. I liked it. I can't deny it either. It felt good. One day, when he came over, he gave me a condom. I didn't really know what to make of it. I was unsure if I was getting mixed messages. I was trying to work out what he wanted. I wasn't sure what I wanted. I was trying to work out if we were on the same level. Because to me, it's all about if you're on the same level. Is that what you both want? An acquaintance was making me feel like Hunter wouldn't be on the same level as me, which is why I probably didn't do anything, because I wasn't sure. I was trying to look out for him because I didn't want to take advantage of him. But it must have been obvious. I mean, you wouldn't give someone a condom if you didn't want to bang. If you've got an intellectual disability, or whatever you call it, doesn't mean you can't love or be loved. I want people to know that if you're with a service provider, they shouldn't be controlling of your life and they shouldn't tell you that you can't be gay. Families can also stop you being yourself too, if you have ID. Growing up, I had to fight to try and enjoy being with girls. With boys, I had to fight the denial that I liked them. But now I know I'm attracted to guys. I'm gay. But I don't like to stick to labels too much, because people's sexuality can change over time. I don't know if there's such a thing as soulmates. If there is, I haven't found mine.